Howbeit we speak among them that are mature. The reason for failure is the lack of wisdom. For favor to be sustained, wisdom is required. They are won by divine wisdom. And am I head of this world? No man can operate by the wisdom of God and his goodness. It's not possible.
You are welcome to Wisdom Series with Dr. Paris Amirwell.
Do you know a major way you project yourself to walk in divine wisdom is by praying in the Holy Ghost? Are you aware? No, for those that think praying in the Spirit is for spooky, old people, people that are not fashionable, people that don't have swag, people that don't, that are not educated, people. Let me tell you something. Spirituality and education are not the same thing. The realm of the spirit has no regard for your education, for your certificate. Are you aware? The realm of the spirit has no respect. In fact, saying the realm of the spirit is why witches and wizards don't have respect for your certificates and your English. Are you aware? Am I talking this morning? Eh? When they throw arrows, how come they throw before, if not now, that a new generation is rising in the past 20, 30 years? Before, arrows are only sent from the village to the city. Eh? How come people were not sending arrows from the city to the village? Life is spiritual. The old woman who does not understand English, cannot spell her name, flies from her village. Let me not call anybody's village. I was tempted. All the way from her village to Lagos, in here. And is there watching the man who has his PhD and then manipulating and confusing his life. And you say life is not spiritual. If all I can help you do as a pastor is to awaken you to the spirituality of life, I would have helped you. Don't allow technological advancement deceive you. Life is spiritual. And the more you are serious about the spirituality of life, the better for you. The better positioned you are to deliver your destiny on the earth. You see, when you know that life is spiritual, it begins to affect your decision making. It affects your priority. It affects what you do, what you don't do. It affects where you go. It affects the things you give attention to. Hallelujah. But you see, when we see someone play with certain things, we know they are not aware of the spirituality of life. Or they are aware, but they are passive about the spirituality of life. They are not really convinced that life is spiritual. They think it's just a talk. It's just pastors trying to make everybody religious. Make everybody feel spiritual. Make everybody, you know, when people talk like that, you know, they have no idea of the spirituality of life. Are you kidding me? Somebody is on his own driving a truck, veers off the road and picks it. And you say it's coincidence, you are spiritually ignorant. Things will happen like that. You say, no, but the break failed. How come it was at that point the break failed? And then he dies, and then his auntie says, oh, I had a dream last week. I saw him die. I did not pray. Have you heard those things? So you want your life to be dependent on people's prayers? I forbid. It's good for people to pray for you. It's good. But see, when you are serious about these things, you chart your course. You understand? You take responsibility for your life. You chart your course. Somebody dies. You say, somebody say, I saw it too. I did not pray seriously. What kind of nonsense is that? Glory to God. Life is spiritual. That's what I'm saying. Life is spiritual. And pay attention to the spirituality of life. Get to know, be interested. Why do we come to church? One of the reasons we come to church is because church is a spiritual accredited center where people are taught the things of the Spirit. We have accreditation from heaven to teach you how to live life on the earth, to give you a spiritual perspective, which is the foundational perspective, but which is the most serious thing on how to live lives on the earth. The people you think are your mentors, and you say, Haba, does Kanye West pay tithes? Can you always go to church? The guy has hammered. You don't know. You are ignorant. Do you know the fellowships they have had? Do you know where they go to? Do you know what they have done? Do you know who they see? Do you know who they bow to? If our current is no more, it's no more hidden self that most secular artists that are up there worship something, sell their souls something. How many of you have heard that? It's not false. It's true. Because they don't understand the spirituality of life. So you too have to take your own seriously. Because yours is superior. See, the blood is my qualification. Thank you, man. The blood is my qualification. Say like you believe. The blood of Jesus is my qualification. The name of Jesus is my authority. The word of God is my weapon for victory. Can we say that again? The blood is my qualification. The name is my authority. His word is my weapon for victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what is wisdom? We said wisdom is using knowledge correctly. I want us to stretch in a dimension. Okay, and continue next Sunday. We'll wrap up the first phase of the teaching on Sunday. I hope we can wrap up. Wisdom, we said wisdom is discretionary intelligence. Wisdom is creative intelligence. Wisdom is ability to use knowledge rightly. Wisdom is insight into realities. Write it down. Insight into things the way they really are. Wisdom is insight into truth. Supernatural insight into truth. Knowing things the way they are. Wisdom helps you to see beyond all that the physical eyes can see. And it helps you to know beyond all that the natural mind can know. I say that again. Wisdom helps you see beyond all that the physical eyes can see. And it helps you know beyond all that the natural mind can know. If all you see and know is what is obvious to the mind and what is natural to men, you have not stepped into wisdom yet. Have you noticed that they call the magicians of old wise men? I told you on Sunday that when the Bible says wise men came with gifts, wise men from the east came to see Jesus. Never think of university professors. That's what comes to our mind. You are thinking of people with scholastic erudition. It's beyond that. Go and read your Bible very well. He's talking about magicians. Men that have insight into spirits. They are not university professors. They are not faculty board members. Wise men from the east. How did they come in the first place? What did they see? They saw a star. What does that tell you? They are stargazers. They were checking things out in the heavens. And they saw this strange star. But through the omen of divination and astrology, they can connect stars to emergence on the earth. Meaning, when someone wants to emerge, I can't go into all that. I know those things. Yeah, I know. As far as deciding our kingdom is concerned, yes. Hi. Let me know good. How many of you remember that movie that came out, Jupiter Ascending? It was released on a day when there was an emergence of a constellation in the heavens. It's natural. You know, if you can read it in book, there was a constellation. They waited for that day to release it. And every time that particular constellation appears, you know that thrones in the natural realm, economic thrones, are emerging. That was in 2015, March. Economic thrones are emerging. So it's there. But see, God has warned us not to live by those things. He told us to look into his word and check up with his spirit on our inside. Because those things are subject to demonic manipulations. And I shared along that line on Tuesday. Is somebody following me? But here is the point. They connect people that have insight into spiritual things. They call them wise men. Wise men from the east. They saw his star. Meaning they were stargazers. They were astrologers. They saw and they came. When they talk about the wise men in Egypt, the wise men are in Babylon. They are not talking about men who are just learned in the natural economic books. They are talking about men who have insights into things beyond the scope of the natural mind. Are you listening to me? And this is what wisdom is. This is what the wisdom of God can do for a person. You are a plant science student in 200 level. When this wisdom begins to operate in your life, you begin to have insight beyond what your lecturers have taught you. You begin to see what they can't see. What did David say? I have more understanding than my teachers because your testimonies are my meditation. That's the wisdom of God. The testimony of God is the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So I said wisdom helps you see beyond what the physical eyes can see. Know beyond what the natural mind can know. Look at Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. Oh, that scripture never says that. This is what we call insight into realities. From verse 1, the sons of the prophet came to him. They said, where we dwell is too small for us. Let us go and get trees, right? And build a larger place. That's the background. The Bible says, when they went, I want you to follow. Most of you know the story. When they went to cut trees to build that house, and wanted, go back to verse 5. But as one was falling a beam, the axe head, you know the axe head, fell into the water. There was like a river there. You know what axe head is, right? The head of the axe is iron, is metal. How many of you have ever used axe to cut stones before? To cut wood. Let me see all the adjectives. Proudly, I've done that before. Amen. To know where the Lord has took me from. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you don't say, axe, what's that? You saw it in your storybook, in a movie. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank God for your life. But we also thank God for our own lives too. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that the axe head is metal. It's a very thick, heavy metal. What happened? It fell into the water. But one of the actors fell. The actor fell into the water and he cried and said, alas, master, talking to the prophet, for it was borrowed. For it was borrowed. Look at the next thing. And the man of God said, where fell it? And I'm trying to show you wisdom. Wisdom is knowing beyond what the natural mind can know. Hi. The natural mind told us that when you put a metal, something that has, you know, Archimedes' principle, something that has a weight in order to displace, you understand? Upward, what happens? It sinks. It sinks in water. It doesn't float. So the axe had sank. That's natural. But look at this man of God. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in Peter, and the iron did swing. Malebo Gaskata. We are talking about wisdom as insight into realms beyond natural knowledge. Naturally, the iron should not swing. Do you feel me? But who told him that by cutting a stick and putting the axe will float? That is supernatural. He didn't pray. He said, where did it fall? He caught a stick. We call it insight into realities. And when we put scriptures together, we know what happened there. God spoke to him. God spoke to him. God told him what to do. Look at Jesus healing people. Healing the blind man. And then the Bible says he took clay, mixed it with spittle, and placed them in his bones. And said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. What happened? He washed and came back seeing. How can you explain that? The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God can lead you contrary to human calculations and economic analysis. Oh, they say this business, no, you can't invest in it, but in your heart, God spoke to you. Put your money there. This is why we must be guided by divine wisdom. You put your money there and become a millionaire in dollars in a short time. What happened? God led you.
Contrary to natural knowledge.
That is the wisdom of God. He said, go and wash in the pool. What happened? Wash came back seeing. The iron, the axe head started swimming. The axe head started swimming. He said, pick it up. And he took it. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. What about Moses in Exodus 14? The people, Egypt was behind them. The whole army, history tells us that it was the whole army of Egypt that was behind them. Coming against them. Before them was the Red Sea. The Bible said, God, Moses began to cry to God. You know what God told him? He said, Moses, why are you crying to me? Why are you crying to me? Why are you crying to me? You should have asked for instructions. You should have asked for instructions. So should I tell you this today? You know, many people, when they're going to supplication and intercession, what they're expecting after then, the only thing they're expecting is the intervention. And this is why they don't get results. When you are supplicating and making intercession, don't just wait for intervention. The pathway is intercession, instruction and insight, then intervention. Oh God, I wish I could collect money for you for telling you this. You are looking at me, you don't even appreciate it. Meaning every time you go to pray, your ears must be open, your eyes must be open. That seeing and hearing may not even happen in the place of prayer. It may be as you are saying, you prayed, and God just gave you a scripture that is not even making sense. You're on your way out, somebody says something. And then it rang a bell in your heart. You know this is God talking to you. And then you go and put it to work, and then manifestation follows. Do you feel me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Insight. He was crying to him, Lord, God said, don't cry to me. Tell the people to move forward. The wisdom of God. We are talking about the wisdom of God. Move forward into the sea. But that's God talking. When God speaks, he has it all covered up. When God speaks, he's covered. Jesus told John, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Fear not. You know, God is a God of the future. It means your future, God has visited it. And he's present with you in the present. So when God says, fear not, you should believe him. He's saying, I have gone to your future. And I'm here, and I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Why? I've sorted it out. The present circumstance cannot define your future. So when God says, fear not, that's what he has in his mind. You can see that in Revelation 1. He says, I'm the beginning and the end, the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. So fear not. I've gone into the future. I have seen it. That is for your favor. Oh, I thought I was going to get an amen.
Amen.
This is why you should not be afraid of tomorrow. I don't care how messed up your today is. Never be afraid of tomorrow. Trust God. Believe God, the Lord. You said you give me an expected end. You remember Jeremiah? I know the thought that I think towards you. They are thoughts of good, not of evil. To give you a hope and a future. One translation says to give you an expected end. One translation says to prosper you. Can you see? God has gone to your future. Maybe you are in school and the school is messing with you. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Your future is settled. Oh, hallelujah. Why are you crying to me? Tell the people to go forward. And what is he say? Stretch your hand over the sea and divide it. Oh, God Almighty. Divide the sea. You know what naturally would have happened? Imagine if Moses was calling board meeting. He said, we need to go. Now there's a Red Sea before us. How are we going to do? How many of you are engineers among us? Give me the estimate. How long will it take to build a bridge across this Red Sea? And then a collapsible bridge. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And then he's trying to do the feasibility study. How deep? Can we send some engineers? They would have still been in Egypt by now. What am I saying? In the arena of divine wisdom, we break natural laws. We make progress despite people's calculations. Let's hear from your part, from your side of the state. Nobody can be governor, and it's in your heart to be governor. And you are using it to calculate. Tell them I'm the next governor of this state. And get into spiritual things. God's way. Do you understand? Let the prophet speak over you. Oh God Almighty. You begin to see things swaying and swaying. They say, ah, this is qualification. You can't get this job. This proposal, the governor's son drop proposal for the same job. The governor's younger brother drop proposal. In fact, the governor's wife's twin sister drop proposal. If the governor is now confused, thinking who will give it to, and you are bringing it, tell them that's why I'm getting it. You'll be so confused, say, I need another person. Oh, somebody did not get that. This is the way you should think. Don't live your life by Japanese calculator, by human calculations. Live it supernaturally. He says, stretch your hand over the sea and split it open. Divide it. Who does that? The wisdom of God. How, what is the science behind stretching your hands over a sea and dividing it? The wisdom of God. Meaning when you act according to divine instructions, things happen. And that acting according to divine instruction is called wisdom. That's what I'm saying. It's called wisdom. When you act according to divine instruction, that is wisdom acting. And results must be produced. The Bible says when he stretched his hand over the Red Sea parted. The Bible says an east wind, a wind from the Lord, came and parted the Red Sea all night until it was dry. You know, there are two miracles in one there. If you part the Red Sea and you don't put something on it for them to walk in, that's another word. They will descend. You know how deep the sea is? They will have to go into a valley and be climbing up. But God, after dividing the Red Sea, made a land. The Bible says he made a way in the sea. He made a way in the sea. He made a way. To be a Christian and not believe in the supernatural is to lie. He made a way in the sea. Do you know what way is in the sea? He didn't just part it, there was a way. But I say, at his presence, the sea fled. He said, oh, what seest thou, sea, that thou fleddest? Or, oh, him that thou skippest like Ra. The mountains were skipping, they danced before him like little rats. The presence of God. The presence of God. You can't be a man of his presence and be stranded. No, mountains will skip like rams before you. Red seas will be splitting before you. Hallelujah. And you know we carry his presence. Yeah. Why? Where is the Holy Spirit living? Talk to me, church people. Where does the Holy Ghost live? Inside. The Holy Spirit is the carrier of his presence. It's your own consciousness of it I'm talking about. Listen, our problem is consciousness. A new creation. Spirit filled should not sing, Lord, let your presence go with us. If your presence is not going with us, don't take us up hands. You are praying Moses' prayer. And you are feeling cool. You are feeling deep. You are feeling you are hungry for God. That's not the prayer for the New Testament. Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, let your presence go with us. The angels are wondering, what is this saying? We have been waiting since. We are here. God is here. What is he talking about? Oh, is somebody here? What you say, Father, thank you for your presence. And if your mind is trying to play games on you, pray in the Holy Ghost and increase your consciousness of his presence. Do you understand? Increase your consciousness. Your consciousness of his presence. By the time you prayed ballistic tongues for 30 minutes, you know ballistic tongues. You know there is segment, segment, segment. Segment, segment, segment. Suya, 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 suya. If you need suya, you tell us. Regede, regede, regede. Surababa. Selebebebebe. Oh Lord, we thank you. There's a blessing to it. When you do that, don't despise it. There's a blessing. I'm just saying, there's a blessing to it. But you see, there's what we call ballistic prayer. You want quick stirring. You want to get stirred. And all you have is 15 minutes, 10 minutes. You put your spirit your soul, your body into the prayer. Is somebody here? Into the prayer. Suddenly your eyes will be red. Oh God Almighty. You can't go for an interview and fail. In my life, I've never failed an oral exam. Never. I've never failed. It's not that I'm talking about human. Never fail. It can happen. When you see me, you like me. I come with an anointing that makes you feel I'm your father, your uncle or something. Will you fail your uncle in exam? I may be a small boy. You say, will you fail your father? So we'll just gist up. I'm not lying though. I've never failed any oral exam in my life. Oral, I face professor to talk. Even if I'm whistling, you will pass me. Even though I've passed through some of the most dangerous examiners. I don't want to call their names. Those are doctors here, you may know them. There's one in the east that comes to Jos for exam as an external examiner. Toxic guy from UNM. you can't fail me. I argued with him. They said you don't argue with your examiners. If you argue with your examiner, you're finished. I argued with him. And I see pass. Is somebody following me? The consciousness of his presence. The consciousness of his presence. They come, oh Lord, come down and manifest your... Now lie, where is he coming down to? He says, I will live in you. I will dwell in you. Where is he coming down from? He says, I will parabolate in them. Palabaya. The Greek word means to parabolate and peripass you. It means to walk up and down. You know, the way a Roman army that is on guard upon the walls, the way they walk up and down, parabolates. That's what God, he says, I will live in them. I will parabolate in them. Do you know, as you are seated there, the Holy Ghost is parabolating. I, on your inside, he's moving. Do you understand? So what you need to do is to acknowledge him. You say, thank you, Holy Spirit. You are working me. You are giving me the right words to speak. Oh, you are putting the right thoughts in my mind. You are causing me to go in the right way. In the name of Jesus, I know how to run this marriage. I know how to raise my children. I know how to work in this organization. I know how to add value here. I know how to run this business. In the name of Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is, you are in me. And your word is in my mouth. This is how Christians live. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me, don't pass me by. What's that song again? Don't pass me by. Pass you by. Pass you by. Put Hebrews 13 for me. Pass you by. Pass you by. You don't believe God's word. That's your problem. Pass you by. Eh? Hebrews 13 verse 5. Put it up for me. Pass you by. You don't believe what God has said. That's the problem. Pass you by. God is bound by blood covenant to stay with you. Did you hear what I said? God is bound by blood covenant to remain with you. If God, listen, let me give it to you. If God will go away from you because you made mistake, then he should not tell us not to divorce. Kai. You didn't get that. No, here is God telling you, whatever your wife do, don't put her away. Whatever your husband do, don't put him away. And then the same God will put you away. Listen. Measure. Listen. Between you and God, who has the highest forgiveness threshold? Do you hear what I say? Forgiveness threshold. Between you and God, who has the highest? All right. Are you with your Bibles? Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 5th verse. Let your conversation, man of life, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he said, because he has said. Read it to me. For he has said. What did God say? What has God said? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you. God is talking to someone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you are saying, oh Lord, gentle Savior, don't pass me by. Say, what are you talking about? I made a commitment. You know, the problem Christians have is they think God speaks like man. God is not that your uncle that promised you and didn't make it to pass. God is not your aunt or your dad that promised I'm going to buy you this and didn't buy it. No, sir. No, ma. God is none of the above. God is God by himself. He watches over his world to perfect it. Can I get an amen? Is somebody here? Agree with the word of God. Agree with the word of God. Agree with the word of God. He says, so what do you, when you wake up, Lord, thank you because you are here. I may not feel it, you are here. You may be seated, please sit so that those behind you can see. You are here. You are here, you are with me. I have become your headquarters on the earth. I am God's headquarters on the earth. I am his center of operation. Where does God live now? He lives on house carries, street carries, room carries. Do you understand? I am his dwelling place now. We are God's dwelling place. Listen, you may feel dry spiritually. You are feeling tired. Maybe say, if it was this battery like that. You are feeling carnal. It makes no difference. You say, Lord, thank you because you are here. And because you are here, I'm making it right. I'm getting better. I'm overcoming these habits. Are you following me? You know what Satan wants? Satan doesn't want you to know. You know, you have Christian saying like that, Kai. I'm not getting it right here. That's why I'm staying away from church. I'm staying away from God. When I arrange myself, I'll come to God. You're a proud man. You're a proud woman. You mean you can arrange yourself? You mean you can arrange yourself? Then you don't need God. If you can arrange yourself, do you really need God? No. Oh, Billy Graham, that great evangelist, his popular song, Just As I Am, I'm without one plea. Just as I am. He comes, that presence is what changes us. Do you understand? When you give attention to his presence, let me tell you, whether you feel like a bad girl or bad boy, and you feel, yeah, I'm just one hypocrite, I'm just one bad girl, I'm just one bad boy. If you pay attention to this and you see your life go like this, You see decency in your life. You look and say, is this me? I talk like this. I think like this. What happened to me? Something happened to you. You give attention to the presence of God on your inside. You feed that presence with the word of God that you hear. You know, as you are listening to God, so something is happening to you. You feed that presence by coming in fellowship with other believers. Do you know we are in fellowship as we are here? This is what fellowship is. We are drinking together, hearing the same word. The Spirit of God is hovering over us. That's fellowship. As a Christian, never joke with fellowship. Never joke with fellowship. Always go to church, not because pastor will know that you are not around. No, because it benefits you on the long run. It does something to you. It may look like, okay, does it really make any difference now? Keep at it. Grow it to God. Oh, is somebody feeling me this morning? Is somebody hearing God this morning? Insight into realities. How did Jesus know that 5 loaves and 2 fish, when you lift it up and give thanks, it can feed 5,000 men, excluding the women and the children? Wisdom. Wisdom. That means by that wisdom, you can leave 10,000 naira. What you need is 2.5 million. To start that business, to do what you need to do, you have 10,000 naira. And you lift it. You say, Father, you are the God that multiplies fish and bread. I leave this and I give you thanks. Thank you because your power will come upon this. It will multiply and I will do what I require to do. Brothers and sisters, it will happen. That act is an expression of wisdom. How did we grow to having hundreds of people come? And there was a time where very few, some went down here, millionaires were. They have no body, they have no money, they have, do you understand? When you are there, no body, no money, you know what to do. You act on God's wisdom. You don't complain. You know, there are young ministers, say, all these big ministries are supposed to be supporting young ministries. You have signed to fail. It's a signature, you signed. You're a pastor, God called you to do ministry. And you're saying, they're looking for big ministry. Eh? They're looking for big ministry. See, how many people come there? We are just starting. Can't they just, you think it's a common pool of money that everybody is just speaking from? Glory to God. Act the wisdom of God. Jesus lifted 5 loaves, John chapter 6. The Bible says he gave thanks. He gave to his disciples. And the disciples to the people. And in the hands of the disciples, the bread multiplied. How did he know? Insight into realities. Insight into things as they are. You know that when you give thanks about anything, over anything, it multiplies. Oh, it multiplies. When you rejoice over anything, it multiplies. That is the wisdom of God. He says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 19. I will multiply them and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. Can you see that? Rejoicing, giving thanks over a thing multiplies. Complaining over things reduces and subtracts from it. This car says, is even car, all the car people have. See, my mates, see the cars there, you see, this old car. It's not the car's fault. Did the car buy itself? That car was soon shut down. Yeah, it's a law, it's a principle in the spirit. We're talking about the wisdom of God. It's a principle in the spirit. Say, this shirt, this clothes, is the quality, it's not even, when people are wearing, very easy to tear on the road while you are going. It's just tear. You just tear. Do you understand? You handle 50,000. I say 50,000. Is it even money? 50,000. Is it money? I bet this is not money. This is not more log. And you are now saying, oh God, give me money. Money coming. You are breaking a law of wisdom. Let me tell you something about wisdom and magic. Sorry, about miracles and magic. I told you that magic is different from miracles. Magics are just displays of spectacular things without the involvement of the spectator. Do you understand? Wisdom, miracles are based on spiritual laws of wisdom that requires the participation of the recipients. You just stand there, do the magic, now you watch. But to receive miracle, you participate in faith, in understanding the laws. You participate. The Lord bless and increase you. You participate. The Lord bless the work of your hand. You participate. When you go home, you will see that, like, if I receive this blessing, then we cannot be using this place now. We cannot be bidding for this kind of job and work. It requires a participation of faith and of corresponding actions. Can I get an amen? The wisdom of God. Insights into realities. Insight into secrets and mysteries, things that beyond the understanding of the natural man. We call it superior wisdom. It's not gotten within the walls of the university. Hallelujah. I had a very strange experience one time. I shared with somebody before. We had a hotel de Lago. I had an office there. That was still, I had an office there. What did I say? What's the name of the hotel? Minor Hotel. Sorry. More hotel delight. I stayed there in my days in school. That's what I remember. Yeah, the place has been overrun now. Glory to God. At Maynard Hotel, I walked past. I'm talking about wisdom as insight into realities. I walked past a stab in the hotel and I smelled formalin. What is formalin? The substance that is used to embalm dead bodies. I assure you, if another person is to pass by that man, he won't perceive that. There are two things there. I pass, even him can't perceive, and even if he perceives it, he may not be able to interpret it. But look at, I'm talking about wisdom. I passed by him. I perceived formalin, that mortuary smell. And it's spiritual, but my natural nose perceived it. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death. Can you see? I interpreted it. I knew what that was for. I began to pray for him. He says, sir, that's true. He says, for 3-4 days now, my breath ceases. It's as though there's something on my chest. How can you explain that? And I prayed for him and delivered him, and he lived. But here's my point. For God's sake, are you taught that in the walls of the university? Who will teach you that when you pass by and smell from my lips, you can't even smell it? And if you smell, you don't know what it means. Hey, something smells funny. No spiritual intelligence. No spiritual intelligence. Let me hold on to that and say something. Do you know sometimes the Spirit of God can be attempted to bring something to your attention by natural smell? Oh God Almighty. By natural smell. I preached a message 3 years ago, 3 years plus ago, called Developing Spiritual Intelligence. Almost 4 years ago. Go and get that. Developing spiritual. How many of you have listened to that message? Developing spiritual intelligence. I preached it long ago. Go and get it. There's a free message pot outside. How can you explain the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God. He helps you have interpretation for your environment. And I said in the first service that we get into that wisdom when we begin to relate with the Word of God. When we begin to give attention to the Word of God is to give attention to the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God is voiced by the Word of God. To despise the Word of God is to despise wisdom. I would say despise the Word of God is beyond despising listening to the Word of God. When you don't act on God's Word, you are despising God's Word. Do you believe that? That's the truth. It's clear in the Bible. Giving is clear. Giving to the poor, giving to the anointed, giving to God's house, tithing. Oh, I did. I've done a teaching on that. I can't go through all that. Sincerely, if you are here and you are confused about tithe, or you think you are convinced that tithing is not a New Testament practice, go and listen to my message on tithing. I preached it last year. And I preached it many years ago, but I did a version last year. Go and listen to it. Amen. But you see, when you know that this is what to do and you don't do, you are despising God's word. The Bible has said, do not despise the gathering of yourselves together. And then you joke with church. You go to church when you feel like. You go to church when you don't feel like. You don't go, ah. You know, you treat church like, where? Let me tell you how to see it. We are young people. There are things you must catch. You must see being part of a church as part of your commitment to God. You know, everything is about them, whether I go to church or not. I just stay at home. I can watch message and send my tithe. It's not about hearing the word of God. You see, you are a selfish person. You are depriving us of the blessing that your coming here will add to us as a body. That's what you're doing. And that's what it means to despise wisdom. Do not despise wisdom. Do not despise. And I'm not saying this is because I'm a pastor. Go and check my track record. I've always been a church boy. I just felt weird. Yeah, I mean, for God's sake, if you claim you love God, wouldn't you love his house? Oh, as a young, I always loved to be around church. To serve, we enter rain to go to church. Because we love God, not because we're pastors. Nobody knew us. We just wanted to be in church and to hear the word of God. The word of God was glorious in our sight. Oh, just like John the Beloved said, he said, that which we have heard, that which our eyes have seen, that which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled of the word of life. Is it that which you have looked upon? I told you, the Greek word means to look on with admiration. I've always admired the word of God. To look on with admiration. He says, for the light was manifest and we have seen it. Hallelujah.
Are you learning something this morning? To speak the wisdom of God. Don't despise the wisdom of God. Put that wisdom in your mouth. For it is a superior wisdom. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory to God. I'll just do something. Connect two things for us briefly. And then we close the service. Listen. A major way we project ourselves in divine wisdom is speaking in tongues. Oh God Almighty. I say that again. A major way through which you can project yourself. Things are not working. Days are day. You are frustrated. You are all that. You know the Bible says the Lord shall supply your need according to his riches and glory, but it doesn't look like it. A major way to project yourself beyond the limitations into the wisdom of God is by praying in other tongues. By praying in other tongues. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 14 very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. Go to 14 verse 2 first. We project ourselves into divine wisdom when we speak in tongues. Oh, I know exactly what I'm telling you. Remember I told you that instructions from God are instructions of wisdom. We went through examples in the Bible. So you project yourself into the arena of that wisdom by speaking in tongues. By speaking in tongues. Rakataya. Mantebogaskata. Lipako shepata. Oh, the transforming power of prayer. The power of prayer. You project yourself. And knowing that, listen, as you are praying in tongues like this, you are listening for insight and instructions. You remember that, right? You want to see something. There is the sayings of prayer and there is the seeing of prayer. We don't just say in prayer, we see in prayer. We see in prayer. And listen, it is what you see in that place of prayer that you bring into this world. It what you saw, you bring it here and then bless your world with it. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he does what? He speaks mysteries. Hidden secrets. He speaks mysteries. So when you are speaking in tongues, you are doing what? You are speaking mysteries. It means to speak in exoteric language. To speak in esoteric language. To speak something that is reserved for the initiated. Aya. To speak words that are reserved for the initiated. You know, the concept of mystery is not because it's a big thing. It's just that it's reserved for the initiated. That's what makes it a mystery. That's what makes it a mystery. Hallelujah. Go to first. Can you see? Howbeit, I want you to know this. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. But howbeit, go to the next verse. But we speak the wisdom of God. How? Can you see? Now, compare scriptures. Say, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, speaking unto man. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He that speaks in tongues, howbeit he speaks mysteries. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Hiya. Are you connecting it now? That means when you open your mouth by the spirit, and you are rabakeko sapata, mantebala konzeste palita haya, likopa se mantoba, libaya sonatena, rapako zepa, lipaneka samatene bahaya, luvabi nani asu apataya. You know, you are speaking the wisdom of God. You are speaking the wisdom of God. For every situation, there's a wisdom of God. Never forget that. I don't care what it is, there's a wisdom of God. So every time there's a situation around you, or there's a you, or there's something you want to, there's a wisdom of God. When you get the corresponding scriptures that favors what you're looking for, what do you want to do? Put tongues in your mouth. Put tongues in your mouth. Is that okay? And you speak in tongues so much until the world start talking to you. Put tongues in your mouth. When we are speaking in tongues, we are not wasting time. We are not wasting our time. It's not, you saw it there. He said you are speaking to God. You are addressing God in an esoteric language. Rabaka. I told you, let your prayers be 90% tongues if you can. Speak in tongues abundantly. Pray in the spirit always. You know, Paul was one of the most successful apostles. How many of you believe that? Do you know he told us his secret? His secret. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 18. Put it up for me. Paul was speaking to a church. He was so bold. He says, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. More than you all. And if you understand, the church at Corinth. In fact, they had to correct them because they were doing everything in tongues. Over spirit coco, you understand? Yet, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. That means Paul was a Sheba Laka. You think we speak in tongues? No, look at this. This is Paul writing to them. He said, I thank God that I speak in strange tongues and languages more than any of you. And all of you put together. You know, the context was tongues. He was correcting them that every time they were speaking, they were feeling spiritual. He said, me. I speak in tongues more than all of you. But when I'm speaking to people, I speak in a known tongue so that they can be edified. That's the argument there. But he had to add this so that they know that he's not against tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So can you confidently say that? At least at your level, you should be able to say, Kai, to yourself, or not bragging outside, that you spend time praying in tongues. There are times your knees just hit the floor. Amambe kosaya, liba koshabaya. He said, Pastor, but where should my mind? Let your mind be on God's word, on his promises. And deliberately, you know, there are times when we have to stretch in tongues. You just stretch in tongues. You say, the next 3 hours I'll be praying in the Holy Ghost. If you are feeling distracted and sleepy, you just walk around. See, when you speak in tongues like that, your words become anointed. The work of your hand will work. You will live beyond your environment. People are saying, how we in such a short time, we are young people, how we do nothing in the city of Jos, where churches struggle, churches don't grow, people see all kinds of things. So even if your church grows, you don't have money to do serious things, and all that, people don't, you know, all those things that people say. Oh God Almighty. Georgie Lake, the tongues is the making of my ministry. As a business person, you can say tongues is the making of my business. They say, you launched this product last year. People are ordering for it in UK, even Dubai, India. How? You say tongues is the making of my business. Rise to your feet. I'm out of time. Rise with a shout. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Can we rise? Rise with a shout. Speak in tongues now. Oh yeah, open your mouth and speak in other tongues. Sakabaya. Likibaya kozesh de paranegas. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, we're going to practice it next week. We're out of time today. When we talk about tongues projecting into the wisdom of God, you know, we have to practice it. Yeah? So next week, first or second service, we'll take, and it will be experimental. You will have an issue at hand, or we can use it to prophesy. And then you need light about something. Just, we will pray, we'll take out 3 to 5 minutes. You will pray intensely in tongues. And then you will hear God telling you something. And that thing he tells you, you can write down. Is somebody here? Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Can you open your mouth and briefly speak the wisdom?
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.